Welcome, Maria, to the PCV podcast. Thanks for hopping on Skype to chat with me tonight.
Thank you.
Well, what would you say is the gist of your life story thus far, Maria?
I grew up in a small town in Vermont. Went to a fairly small college in North Carolina, Elon University. Never really knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. Still don't. So Peace Corps was always on my mind because my dad is an RPCV from Micronesia. And my senior year of college, I decided that it was for me too. And after working at a preschool for 2 years, finally made it to Morocco.
What preschool did you work at?
I worked at an essential early education preschool in Burlington, Vermont, which is a preschool specialized for kids with special needs.
Now, is that something you studied for in university? Or?
No, not at all, actually. I did a service learning project at a therapy horse farm in high school. And ever since then, I kind of gravitated towards working in those sorts of organizations.
What did you study back at Elon?
I studied anthropology, and I had a minor in Italian studies. Okay. Yeah.
Anthropology's got to be a pretty good fit for Peace Corps work, I imagine.
I think so. I've had two recruiters tell me that it wasn't going to help me get into Peace Corps, which is frustrating because I think a lot of anthropological theory and tactics for ethnographies and studies works really, really well for integration and finding counterparts.
Sure.
So I'd like to advocate for more anthropological theories in PST in the future, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like a big part of pre-service training was like learning some of the, I guess, in the field practices of what I would have imagined as like part of core anthropology curriculum. Like what's that acronym for all the community assessments that we did?
PACA.
Yeah, PACA, right? Like. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Seems like that's got to be related in a major way to anthropology.
Yeah, definitely. And then like the way that Peace Corps describes finding counterparts is the same way that a lot of books in anthropology describe finding what they term key informants to your research. It's practically the same thing.
Changing gears a little bit, what would you say is one piece of media that you most often gifted to other people?
So this is difficult because I don't usually gift media, but if I would consider what media I've maybe pushed on people the most, probably The Princess Bride. Just grew up watching it with my family pretty often and then made sure that all of my friends had seen it. It's the only movie that I own on iTunes and definitely makes me feel good, makes me remember my childhood and always gets a good laugh.
It's great. I love that movie. All right. What are three words your fellow PCVs would use to describe you?
I'm going to use three words that I use to describe myself, and I believe other people see that in me too. Quiet, comma, not shy. I definitely think I come off as pretty reserved and shy, at first, but I think by this point in time I've had plenty of in-depth conversations with people that I'm close with or not. And I just don't really like small talk, so I'd rather jump right into the deep end from the beginning. That's probably why I don't talk until something piques my interest, usually.
I like that. Well, kind of in the same vein of other Peace Corps volunteers, who would you say you look up to in Peace Corps?
I really look up to Ryan McFarlane, who's CO West. He was chairperson of the Supporting People with Special Needs Committee. And although I didn't know him very well, I'm super impressed by his dedication. He learned sign language that is only used in his region so that he could teach at a deaf school. And I just think that's a great metaphor for the best parts of Peace Corps. You know, all of the skills that you gain are not going to be directly transferable to when you go home. He's never going to be able to use that sign language again. But he showed this group of students that, you know, they're important, and somebody from the United States was willing to put in the effort to really get to know them and to be able to communicate with them. So I think that's an idea to definitely strive for in service. I also look up to everybody in our stage who doesn't have Wi-Fi access or everyday cell phone service. Peace Corps service has changed so much in recent times, and I know that I use the internet for so much of my planning, and I think it's great on everybody who makes it work without it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, circling back a little bit, you mentioned Ryan was on the SPSN. Can you talk a little bit more about that committee and your work with it?
Yeah. So the Supporting People with Special Needs Committee is dedicated to making it easier for PCVs to include and reach out to community members with special needs. We kind of go where volunteers need us. We really want more feedback because we know that it might be a subject that makes people nervous or that people don't have a lot of experience with. As far as my participation in the committee, earlier this summer, I put together a reading list from our resource library, and now I am working on a toolkit with Joe Marr and Drew, where we're going to put together some kind of special education 101 tips for behavioral management in the classroom and just kind of stuff that you might not think about if you've never had a special ed background.
That's great. And you're going to post it on the Facebook group when you guys are done, I imagine?
Of course, yeah.
Awesome.
My one piece of advice that I tell everybody is just with preschoolers, try to do things that involve movement. So getting their minds and their bodies connected is my one go-to piece of advice.
All right. Well, moving right along. Next question. What do people never ask you that you wish they did?
Well, I guess you've asked me a lot about it during this interview, but I love talking about my time working in preschool. And I think that I have some worthwhile advice for, you know, working with younger kids or working with students with special needs. And I have lots of funny stories, so I could talk about that for hours.
Well, let's jump in. Why don't you give us maybe one or two more tips or tricks we could use with, you know, classroom management stuff, and then I'd love to hear a funny story or two.
Sure. So I guess this is a preview of the toolkit, but something that's pretty easy to implement right away is giving children choices to help them feel like they're in control of their day. So it can be as simple as a preschooler, if they are not wanting to do an activity, you could say, "Hey, Ali, would you like to color with the red pencil, or would you like to color with the green pencil?" And, you know, that gives them the choice over which pencil they want to color with, but directs them back to the activity that you're leading. Mm-hmm. With older kids, just giving options about what type of subjects they're involved with, or how long they would like to, for example, sit down before taking a break, are easy ways to get kids to feel like they're in control, which will in turn usually show improved behavior. And then another thing that I like to do is use a first then language with pretty much any type of student. An example of this would be, first we're going to wash our hands, then we're going to eat snack. So that gives kids motivation to wash their hands because they want to eat snack, and it helps kids sequence events in their head so that you know, they have motivation to do something that they don't prefer before getting to a preferred action. And it starts helping kids think in a sequenced timeline.
Yeah, those sound awesome. I think those are things a bunch of us could implement like right away in a lot of activities and classes that we do.
Definitely.
Great. What about some funny stories? I feel like preschool would always be an adventure as a teacher.
One of my favorite stories, just because it makes me laugh about all the different types of kids that were in my preschool. I was in a motor room once with a student who was pretty combative. Motor room is a room with slides and balls and stuff to get a little exercise break between learning activities. And I asked a student, I said, "Hey, it's about 5 minutes before snack time. What would you like for snack today?" And he turned around because he knew that it meant that his time on the slide was almost up. And he said, "Thank you, Maria." So that's my go-to for how quickly preschool can turn around, and also how much ignoring goes into preschool, because I didn't engage that behavior. And then another one of my favorite stories was early in the school year, my first year, we were sitting around the snack table with maybe four children, three of which were diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, and a couple other students with different types of disabilities. And I was having a hard time engaging the kids, so I picked up a banana and pretended to talk on the phone with one of the kids, you know, said, "Hey, so-and-so, like, ring, 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 I'm trying to talk to you. What would you like for your drink, milk or water?" And luckily, you know, that got them to pick up another banana and answer my question. And then another student with autism spectrum disorder, who usually doesn't engage with the group, picked up one of his blueberries and put it in his ear and said, "Ring, ring, blueberry phone," and entered into the conversation, which usually didn't happen. And that was a great starting point for his success that year. So definitely something that makes me smile. I even do that here, always pretending to talk on phones with inanimate objects with kids is a great hit.
That's awesome. Well, wrapping things up, I got one last question for you, and that is, who else should I interview on the podcast, and what would you like me to ask them?
I think you should interview Brittany, because I don't know her very well at all, but I just remember all of the time she spoke at IST, her voice was so soothing, and I definitely appreciated all of the input that she put in. I think she definitely considers her words before she speaks. And since I don't know that much about her, I would say, you know, all the get-to-know-you questions would be awesome.
Perfect. I will definitely do that. I'll make sure she gets an invite in the next batch that I send out.
Great.
And, yeah, it'd be great to have her on. All right. Well, I think that does it for our interview. So thanks a lot for hopping on Skype and chatting with me. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's all for today, folks. So signing off, and see you later.
Bye-bye.